David has a few left over from last week. This lesson is, the scripture text is Hebrews 11:6. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me. Combat faith for unshakable faith for every day. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." One thing that we need to always remember about God is his faithfulness. He is faithful in everything that we can trust him with, that we can share with him, because he keeps his promises. Amen. We started out on 2 Chronicles 20:15, 16, and 17, and talking about the battle as the Lord's. God truly does keep his promises. We got as far as letter B underneath point number one. So that's where we're going to begin tonight. God's direction for our lives doesn't always make sense to us. Do you agree with that statement? Do you really? Most of the time, doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. And that's probably just me, it's not you. But B1 says, if we just keep trusting him, he will ultimately bless us and teach us how to crack the faith barrier in the process. One thing that I have realized as time has gone by and further I've gotten into the relationship with the Lord is the simple fact that I am the one that complicates things. I can get in the way quicker than anybody else. And I'm sure that most of us are the same. We have to keep trusting him. Isn't that what faith is about? Combat faith is in the midst, in the heat of the battle. But we can have that unshakable faith. Turn with me to Exodus, the 14th chapter, verses 10, 11, and 12. says, "And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there are no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." The basic synopsis for this scripture is the next statement in our outline. It says, when people switch to the human viewpoint, they start to gripe and complain about their circumstances. So, do we see any comparison to this than modern church today? I mean, did they not just have God's death angel visit every Egyptian? And that's what turned Pharaoh to let the Israelites go? Did they not see a miracle there? Were they any different than we are today? Hello?
You tell her, David.
In some ways, they were different because they would get really direct and clear words from the Lord where he'd say, do this, and do this, and this is what's going to happen. You know, don't do this, and this is what's going to happen. And, you know, time after time after time, you know, he would fulfill his promises or even show mercy after, you know, they failed to hold up their end of the covenant and they knew they didn't deserve mercy, and they'd get it time and time again, but they still kept making the same mistakes. They still kept, you know, worshiping other gods. They still kept, you know, fraternizing with people they weren't supposed to be or whatever. And then, like, they would forget. And even in the wilderness with the manna, they would complain and, you know, they forgot how thankful they were originally when they didn't have anything else. And then they would get sick of it and complain and wish they were back in Egypt. And so, you know, in that way, they were the same, but now, you know, we rely on the Holy Spirit, which is better in a lot of ways, but at the same time, we're like second guessing and wondering if we're hearing correctly. So in some ways, they had more direction, which sometimes I feel like, you know, I would love to be told exactly what to do and how to do it and when to do it, you know. But then I think, well, they had that, and they kept failing over and over again. So I don't really know which is better.
Humanity might not always change for the better. But we can always rest assured that our flesh will always come back to life. And usually the process starts over and over and over again. That's why in God's word, he had to repeat his word to us. But I am thankful that we do live in a dispensation of grace, that God's grace is always sufficient to see us through, that we still don't get what we deserve. Amen. We just have to continually rely upon the Holy Ghost. Even with the Holy Ghost, we still sometimes have issues with humanity coming back to bite us. Should we? No, but we're only human. Remember, there has been only one person sinless. And his name was Jesus Christ. Does anybody else want to share their comment with us? Okay, letter C.
Just so everybody's clear, the new I know the new covenant is way better, so I'm sorry for saying that.
Well, also, on your point, I think we've got a better idea of what we're supposed to do, too. And yet, still we don't, because we have the written word. And we also have the example of Christ himself.
Like specifically in each hour of the day, I'd like him to be like, do it like this. And then I could be like, okay, good. I'll do it that way. You know, like just little mundane tasks even. And I know that's ridiculous, but like that's how I feel right now. So I just want him to tell me exactly how to do everything.
Well, keep reading and keep studying and keep praying, and God will reveal it. Anybody else? All right, let's finish out point number one, the battle is the Lord's. Letter C, though the Lord may allow us to be led into impossible situations, his will is that we boldly stand against the odds and claim his promises. When we do, he delivers us. In his timing, in his ways, how he wants to do it. And that's what we forget too many times. God knows what he's doing. Amen. He truly knows what he...
Stay on that. I kept praying and praying for God to help my son to stop drinking. I prayed and I prayed. It felt like for years. And then I went to see him one time, and he goes, Mom, I'm quitting drinking. And that was July 4th, like almost 2 years ago. And he has not drank one single drink since then.
Awesome. We need to give God all the glory, all the praise, especially when we see the victories in people's lives and that we've had a hand in it just by simply praying, trusting God for their souls, so on and so forth. Point number two. Snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. Psalms chapter 106, verse 7 and 8. Our fathers in Egypt did not understand your wonders. They did not remember the multitude of your mercies, but rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power known. Snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. Letter A. God's leading the Israelites into the desert was again the ultimate test of the lesson just learned at the Red Sea. But here's a tough question today. Pass the test of God? Not difficult. So how'd they do? Well, let's take a look at Exodus 15, 23, 24, and 25. Now, when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them. And there he tested them. Well, they didn't pass the Red Sea test too well, because they got at the waters of Marah and started right all over again. Then you could go into a little bit later on what Sister Cindy said about the manna. I mean, all they had to do is go out and get it every morning. Double portion on Saturday because they didn't want to work on Sunday. Then they complained about that. Out of that complaint, God sent in quail from the sea. People sure are fickle. Now, the next question. What lesson did they not learn? Now I am going to wait for responses. What lessons did they not learn? Did you turn that on for her? Is the batteries good?
Testing.
Okay, Sister Kathy, give us your comment again, if you can remember it.
I think that the lesson they did not learn was to trust in the Lord.
Now, the rest of you aren't going to get off that easy. Maybe you want to elaborate more.
Well, they didn't learn that whenever they're in need of something, God provides for them. They didn't learn to appreciate any of it, which they didn't learn that when there's a roadblock, he removes it, he gets over it somehow. He didn't learn that he's their deliverer, their provider, their strong tower. That, like, everything that they could have possibly needed, every situation that they were in, he showed up in exactly the way that they needed. They didn't learn any of that. They didn't learn faith. So I guess that's the bottom line, is they didn't learn to have faith.
Okay. Someone else want to make a comment? Under C, number one, nothing comes into a child of God's life without the Lord's permission. When we can understand that the situations that we find ourselves in, number two, needs to be in the back of our minds, trying to come out, trying to prove itself over again, and that's Romans 8 and 28. And that scripture just simply says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. This particular promise doesn't say all things are good, but rather that God will work them together for good to those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. We can allow the devil to snatch the victory right out of our hands, right out of our lives. But we must always remember that it's faith that moves His hands, and that in the heat of the battle, we have to even trust Him more and more and more. I think one thing that wasn't said that we probably should make sure that we realize is a lesson that the Israelites did not learn at the Red Sea, and so on and so forth through each time that the Lord provided, is thankfulness. They didn't learn how to worship Him, to love Him, to honor Him, because they first reverted to what? Whining and sniveling, murmuring and complaining, when we should be thankful. Even when things aren't going exactly the way that we know they should not be going in our lives, we got to trust Him. We got to believe Him. Letter D. The lesson for us today is clear. If we don't learn to trust God's promises in the little everyday things, we will certainly not believe Him when a real crisis comes along. And can you say a big amen to that? Thank goodness for the little stepping stones and the building blocks that God gives to us. Letter E. Each one of us is daily developing either a pattern of belief or unbelief. You only have two options there. We either believe God or we don't. Letter F. Faith is like a muscle that has to be stretched to its limit of endurance in order to build more strength. Stretched to its limit of endurance in order to build more strength. The Apostle Paul said, when I am weak, then I am strong. And another portion of Scripture says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord. Not your own joy, your own attitude on how things are going, but the joy of the Lord is your strength. And lastly, for point number two, where's Rosie when you need her? I think one of us will fill in for her quite well tonight. And that's each one of us. Because none of us are very patient. We always want it yesterday. Be patient. It does take time for us to develop faith that endures. And also, don't be too critical of yourself. Because there's enough people around us that are too critical about us. You don't need to get on the bandwagon with them. Amen. So does anybody have any comments? The last point of our lesson. Worrying. Worrying makes a big difference in our lives. Worry can also complicate things in our lives. Worrying in our lives can also bring health issues into our lives, into the situations. Worrying was the glaring manifestation of the Israelites' unbelief. Do you think they really wanted to just be negative? Or was there something different going on?
Well, now I think that, and I don't know why I didn't think about this until just now, but just like everybody today, you know, they went through a lot before they got to the wilderness and before, you know, the Lord took them out of Egypt. And I'm sure they went through a lot of trauma, and that wired their brains a certain way. And when you said that it takes time to build faith that endures, just kind of clicked for me that's what they were needing was, you know, they needed the time to, you know, walk out their faith and to stretch that muscle. And that's what we're all doing now. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen. God never promised it would be easy. But he said he'd be with you to the very end. The thing about worry is you can't worry and still believe God's promises at the same time. Can you worry just a little bit? What happens when we worry just a little bit? Sister Heather?
I don't think there's such thing as worry just a little bit, because that little bit snowballs into a lot. And I feel like when we worry, we take away our peace. We take away God's peace, because we're then no longer believing that he's going to take care of the problem when we worry about it so much.
Worry is an awful lot like cancer. Starts out not so big of a deal, but it will turn into a big deal. Are you going to give her the microphone?
I think that when we worry a little bit, like, if the enemy is studying God's people, and I know that this is true because the word says it, that he prowls around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And when he notices that there is a weak spot in our armor, that is right where he attacks. And once he gets a foothold, that worry gets bigger and bigger, like Sister Heather said. And I guess no, it's not okay to worry a little bit. I used to think that if you weren't worrying, it meant that you didn't care, that you were complacent, or, you know, you weren't doing enough, but I was wrong. It's not okay to worry even a little bit. You've got to replace that with something, though. And the scripture tells us what to do instead of worry, which is to bring it to him. Can you help me out with that by prayer and supplication? The exact wording of that scripture, because it's escaping me right now. But basically, by all prayer and supplication, bring our concerns to him. And when you do that, he does take away your worry, because he's faithful.
Yes.
And he fills you with the joy of the Lord. And I know this, and I think we all know this, and we forget, just like I'm critical sometimes of the Egyptians. I'm like, those guys were idiots, or the Israelites. I'm like, those guys were idiots. What were they doing? And like, we do the same thing.
Amen. Have to remember, worry is the opposite of faith. And it's like the little secret ingredient to the brownie recipe. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Spreads throughout. Letter B, I guess. Worrying is a maximum expression of a lack of faith in the Lord's faithfulness and love for you. Letter C. Scripture for us today holds more than 6,000 promises. Listen to just a few of them. If you'd read 1 Peter 5 and 7, cast your anxieties, and he will carry them for you. Philippians 4, 6 and 7, stop worrying and commit everything to the Lord in prayer with thanksgiving, and he will give you supernatural peace. Philippians 4 and 19, trust him with your needs, and he will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Doesn't have anything to do with us. And finally, letter D. What other promises are found in the Word of God that you have been waiting on God to fulfill? Very good question. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? No. Absolutely nothing. And the conclusion? God's logic is this. If he loved us enough to give the most of us, to give the most for us when we were his enemies, what will he do for us now that we are his children? The answer is simple. So much more. And more. And more. And you've heard me in times past, God wants to bless us more than we want him to bless us. And we can talk ourselves out of a blessing in a heartbeat. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Yeah. I think you can. It's going to take a little bit more effort, probably on your part. A lot of asking the Lord to forgive you. But God still wants to bless you. Now, take for instance, Macklin. Why did I pick her? If she doesn't do exactly what you think that she should do, and you take something from her, could she ever win that back or ever expect to get it back, whatever it was? Why do we think that God's an ogre and He'd treat us differently than we would treat our own kids? Does that help you? All right. Well, we will not have services for 2 weeks because of the holidays.